Midtown。All right, welcome back to NOTG. I hope you had a great start to 2024. And today we're going to talk about one of the key transformation area, of course, our viewpoint on this particular zoning. Let's go. This area that we're going to talk about is the Lentor area. And why do we want to talk about Lentor areas? One of the reasons is because when we talk about new townships, if you have been following us on NOTG, it has a different kind of behavior. And I personally think that this is going to happen for Lentor as well based on how things are moving. Previously, a couple of episodes before in 2023, we talked about Woodlay in one of the episodes about BTO effect onto like a new township kind of behavior. And Lentor being a new township has been one of the very exciting and popular zonings since 2022 when it first launched its first project, Lentor Mona. Let's have a look at this particular area and then we'll talk more about it. So for those of you who are not sure where is Lentor, this is in the Northeast zoning. However, this Northeast zoning, it's not towards like the far portion of Northeast where Punggol and Sengkang is. This is like towards the portion whereby it's a little bit more centralized towards the Upper Thomson zoning. So it's like a tuck right near towards the Yio Chu Kang zoning, Ang Mo Kio zoning, as well as the Thomson zoning. It's also very near to Upper Peirce Reservoir. If you move northwards, that's going to bring you to Springleaf area. So let's have a look at the new MRT station, Thomson East Coast Line. Of course, this is the widely anticipated line in accordance to the North-South Highway. And this line, of course, leads you directly straight on towards the CBD zoning at Marina Bay, as well as Orchard. And of course, this is one of the line that connects not just from this north area towards the central area, it also connects throughout the entire East Coast Belt. So a lot of people are anticipating this line. Lentor is already open. And this new zoning is called the Lentor Helop Park. And later as we deep dive into the master plans, something to take note is that whenever you see this light orange kind of zoning, these are called residential zoning. And later as we blow up even further, you'll start to realize that the master plan has changed for this entire zoning throughout the last revision of the master plan zoning, in the sense that there's going to be a lot more residential plots. And why is that important? Is because whenever you look at plots where the government is putting attention to, for example, like Helop Park, this is going to be like a brand new concept with a lot of townships for private properties, centralized park right in the middle. It's going to like transform this area that's very near to the Teachers Estate, the Tagore region, as well as the entire Thomson, Yio Chu Kang and Ang Mo Kio and Upper Thomson zoning. So this is like what we call like a brand new kind of branding. And branding sometimes is important in the sense that it creates new excitement to the area. There's going to be like an integrated kind of like retail, residential, as well as shopping, and that's going to be Lentor Modern, which has a lot of units that has already been sold out already. We're going to talk more about all the developments right here. But for today's episode, we're going to focus on some of the new ones that are coming up, which is precisely this particular plot here, which is seemingly, based on what we have so far, is one of the largest plot that is available. So let me just bring you up to speed for 2024, because 2024 has lesser new launches compared to 2023. Last year, we did a webinar talking about all the new launches as well as resale TOP projects as well. I'm going to deep dive a little bit into the disparity effect performance of TOP versus new launch for this year and next year. And perhaps if, let's say, you are thinking about, hey, should you go for like a TOP project or maybe a new launch project? What is the PSF play that we're looking at? What's the quantum play that we're looking at? Upcoming projects as of end of last year, if we look at some of the projects that will likely be launched this year, so predominantly lesser launches compared to 2023. 2023, there are still a couple of balanced units from the launches that started from the first quarter. And later, I promise you, at the end of this episode, when we deep dive into the fire cycle, I think you'll have a clearer clarity on whether to go for a new launch or TOP or resale. So let's have a look at Lentor's transformation. Basically, this area has been like a sleeping town. And why is that so? It's because predominantly when you tell people that you're going towards Yio Chu Kang, Lentor, this used to be like a bare plot of greenery land. They will usually drive past all the way from Ang Mo Kio, if you drive across towards Yio Chu Kang MRT and you want to cut across towards Casuarina, where there's like a famous row of eateries like Prata Late Into the Night, Japanese food. There's a couple of nice Chinese restaurants along the road as well. There's also like a shop that sells like a lot of nostalgic toys. I used to bring my kids to buy some of the toys right there. So along Casuarina, right beside Upper Pierce Reservoir, there's a very popular eatery place. There's also like hawker centers right across that road as well. And if you look at this, the ones in black have been the projects that has been in existence for quite a fair bit of years. And this is, of course, right across from Yio Chu Kang MRT. So this area has not seen new launches for quite a fair bit of time. Deeper in, there's also like Berlin Park. Some of the projects is closer in towards the North-South Expressway. So what happened was that URA decided to rejuvenate the place. And then they launched this entire area called the Hillock Green Zoning. So I think what's interesting is that there's like a centralized park right in the middle, followed by all these plots of land that is forbidding. And of course, these are predominantly private properties. And plot ratio is pretty interesting. Predominantly, the plot ratio is high here compared to surrounding because you are surrounded by mainly landed properties in the teacher's estate. And if you look at this, you have plot ratios all the way from 3 point something, 2.8, 3.0, 2.1, 2.1. And take note, when developers bid for the land, they have to submit the concept for consideration. So the concepts are important to URA because they want to make sure that there's no overcrowding here. There's like a conceptualized kind of plan for this entire zoning to make it like a very viable township. So what we mean by a new township is this. Lentor model has already been launched by Guaco. Lentor Hill Residences launch did pretty well. There's going to be a smaller plot right here that's going to be launched in 2024 Lentora, 265 units. This has also been successfully bidded by Guaco, 475 units. And today we're going to explore this because this is going to be launched soon in the first part of 2024, I believe. 533 units, Lentor Mansion. And the number three reason why I think this is going to be interesting is because of this school, which is CHIJ St. Nick's Girls School. One of the most popular school right here, which is also the key reason why projects such as Panorama has did so well. If you look at this radius right here from one map, basically this is the 1 kilometer radius. But if you look at Lentor Modern is not within the kilometers, all right? But it's an integrated project, did very well, can come down straight onto all the shoppings. And of course, Lentor Modern, being an integrated project, is directly connected to Lentor MRT. And one of the MRT exit will lead you directly to Lentor Modern Mall. When you look at this plot right here, this is Hillock Green. This is Lentor Hills Residences. Some of the blocks are cut off. So predominantly, probably about 80% of the blocks are hitting the 1 kilometer, but subject to confirmation. So of course, I think if you hit on the show flat, the developers and the salespeople will be able to advise you which particular blocks are within the kilometer zoning. This is exciting. Huge plot right here. But based on what we've seen so far, it seems like it's like 90, probably 95% covered, right? Only with the angular distance right there. So I think assumption is that most of the units are going to be within 1 km, which is going to be exciting news for a lot of families right here. So based on our research, Lentor Mansion is occupying the biggest land plot in the entire zoning of Lentor so far. It's 68% larger than Lentora, 48% larger than Hillock Green. So to put it things into perspective, let's just have a look at this table right here. So if you look at this, Lentor Modern 605 units, of course, this land plot is about 17,279 square meters in terms of its site area. However, this is of course a different kind of USP because this is like the bread and butter project right there. And of course, when we look at integrated project, entire island has less than 6% of the condos being integrated. So integrated projects are really rare, which is also a key reason why whenever integrated developments are launched, it gets snapped up very quickly by buyers. And then when you look at Lentor Hill Residences, 498 units, Hillock Green 474. However, look at this. Lentora has one of course, the smaller plot, 10,819 square meters, 267 units. But the interesting thing is right here. This is the largest plot, but the density is very well balanced at 533. You're going to enjoy the largest plot, which I think we don't have like the exact information right here because it's still pending release from the developer. But I think once the site plan is up, definitely I think it's going to be attractive in terms of the amount of green spaces that it can potentially have. Probably like the lab pool as well as like maybe like kind of fun pool areas for the children. And perhaps I think definitely with the large land size, there's going to be a tennis court in my own assumption. And of course, I think in terms of green spaces, lawn spaces, these are going to be some of the key punch points of this particular development. Based on what we have gotten so far in terms of some of the key USP, I think what is interesting is that this is going to be positioned as a luxury development. So if you look at Bugis, basically Guaco has sort of shaped the entire kind of landscape in Bugis with its Midtown Modern, Midtown Bay, and of course the integrated development right there. And he has sort of shaped the combination of retail, office units, residential units, and of course, integrated with the Bugis MRT station. And we call this Guaco Midtown. So this area is going to be interesting in the sense that if you look at what is happening to Bugis, let me just blow up this. Guaco has technically transformed the landscape in Bugis area. So Bugis, of course, you have Guaco Midtown 2. You have Midtown Square. You have the office tower right here. You have Midtown Bay right here, Midtown House, Guaco Midtown. This entire is like a new concept combining residential, office. There's going to be like retail zoning right here. It's connected also to Guaco Midtown, which is a residential project. And of course, that is like within the entire very exciting Bugis zoning. If you were to drive through from Nicoll Highway, the moment you drive past it, this is very obvious. It's a very nice architecture right on your right-hand side. And this has sort of shaped the entire landscape within Bugis zoning. And I think what Guaco aspire to do is, of course, if you look at this news, is that Guaco land is emerging as the king of Lentor, according to some of the articles online.
So coming back to the luxury part, because of the fact that Lentor now has several plots right here within Lentor, and of course, that allows them to shape the whole transformation in a very intentional fashion. And some of the key defining things is to have different themes for different condominium projects. And Lentor Mansion has this luxury theme whereby, you know, sometimes when you talk about luxury, it's not just about the design. And of course, luxury design is very important in terms of facade, the feel, but it's also about the facilities as well as the convenience that comes with it. All this, in essence, together form the luxury concept. Of course, and when we look at Lentor Mansion, based on the news that we have now, there's going to be like a black and white colonial style clubhouse. The three bedrooms are also going to feature like a flexible room, which is awesome. And Lentor Mansion is certified as the Green Mark Platinum Super Low Energy Project, one of the first GLS to be certified as Super Low Energy Certified Building.
They basically want to really make this a very exciting Lentor zoning. And just by the hearing the name Lentor, I think the branding is already there, because just by hearing it, I think people already know that it's like a private residential estate. And going back to the new township kind of concept is that new townships, for example, like Woodleigh, because it started from scratch with BTOs and now with private properties, the potential of it setting new pricing characteristics is very high. Just like in the past when Bishan was first launched, new pricing characteristics was high. Similarly for Woodleigh, and of course you have Canberra, that you have new BTOs, you have new private properties. And of course now with Lentor, this is a very different kind of setup. Why is it different? It's because predominantly you have a very strong lender enclave right here in Teachers Estate, as well as further down you have Springleaf. You also have that school as the anchor in terms of parents attraction effect, CHIJ St. Nick's. You also have the HGB properties that are doing well in Amokyo. And of course Amokyo, if you look at the amount of new BTOs and MOP properties right there, it is growing and continuously adding on to the stockpile of good performance kind of HDB properties. And because predominantly Ang Mo Kio being in a zoning that's very near to the city center is something that everybody loves in terms of its address. So with that combination factor, plus one last factor is that it's also near to the Upper Thomson area, D20. That makes Lentor a very unique landscape, because this, firstly, brand new, new concept, beautiful architecture, but surrounding all the existing owners that are owning landed properties or condos or HDBs, maybe they want to upgrade to this area, or maybe they want to buy something for their children, or maybe when their children grow up in the surrounding private properties, they want to buy something new to live near to their existing family nucleus. Or for the very fact that people are moving from other parts of Singapore here towards the CHIJ St. Nick's parents attraction concept.
And coming back to this article, what the king of Lentor concept means is that because of the fact that when a developer owns majority of the plots within a new township zoning like Lentor, which is like a new private property enclave, it could also mean that in terms of price control, as a developer's point of view, towards the consumer's responsibility portion, I can sort of have that feeling that, you know, if I'm the early mover's advantage kind of buyers that bought into the first, second, or third, or fourth project, and in future, if there's going to be other projects by Lentor. So what the king of Lentor kind of concept means is also that when a developer owns majority of the plots in a new private condo enclave township, it could translate to the fact that developers definitely have to maintain their reputation. They have to ensure that for future launches, when they launch, they have to protect the price of the previous launches. And they also have to make sure that in terms of price stability, it is there. In terms of price acceptability, it is there. And I think in terms of pricing, the Lentor pricing, in terms of PSF launches, just on Guaco as well as other developers, it has already been set at that range of pricing acceptability just by judging on how much has been sold in the previous launches. So I think on top of price, it's also going to be a very exciting township because definitely Guaco has to maintain the quality, the standard and the design kind of intricacies in order to attract buyers and have that status as the king of Lentor in the entire new zoning.
Based on the information I have, there's going to be a unique mix of 2 to 5 betas. There's going to be 2 zones, low and high rise, 8-story all the way to 60 levels. Definitely this entire area is GLS. They're all 99 years. Nowadays, if you look at the landscape of new land plots, if you want freehold, definitely you have to go for on-block sites. And of course, on-block sites, sometimes they could be boutique developments. If you want to hunt for like a high-rise, big freehold project, the PSF level should be, of course, of a different kind of price point. GRS, predominantly near to MRT stations. And if you get a good plot, I think there's an opportunity right here. So this is D26. And if you look at this, in terms of the land bid, as well as the estimated break-even, I think is of a nice entry point. Okay, so if we compare Lentor Mansion, I think other than the fact that it has a huge land plot and the density is not as high, it's not as maxed out, I think what's going to happen is that if you look at the bid, the estimated break-even is actually lower than Lentora and Helot Green. And of course, that will bring us to the next topic, which is harmonization. So this will be a project that falls into the new harmonization policy. And I think it's going to be very interesting moving forward because let me just bring out this chart that I have always brought out during NOTJ as well as our webinars. This is the 2013 TDSR effect. Technically, after this TDSR cooling measure has came out, we saw a shift in the sizes of units that's been created by developers for new launches. That brought about a new era whereby you get to see more and more 1 and 2 betas being created, lesser 3, 4, 5 betas being created, and sizes of the unit starts to shift and change. Throughout this entire history, there were also seasons where there were sort of like a disappearance of units with bay window areas. I'm not sure whether you remember that season or not. I mean, there were several projects in the past that you go into, there were bay windows predominant in the common bedrooms and the master room and even the bathrooms as well. And of course, with a shift in some of the policies by URA and BCA, that actually shaped the new landscape as well, that now in terms of projects, you don't see bay windows anymore. And most of the units that you see in the bedrooms are all usable space. What is the harmonization rule? And of course, whenever there are new policy, for example, like 2013 TDSR, there'll be a shift in terms of the unit sizes. I believe the harmonization rule will then create a new shift as well. Let's have a look at the harmonization rules. This is the article. Basically, the new definitions of floor area could eat into developer saleable area in terms of GFA calculation. Let me just bring you through this. And this is going to be a norm starting from 2024. And there'll be some projects that were bidded previously that's not under this rule. But moving forward, all the projects that were bidded will be under the new harmonization rule. So what is harmonization? Basically, it's a harmonization of the government authorities, URA, SLA, BCA, and SEDF. They all will harmonize into the same kind of definitions of how GFA is being calculated. And the size of units will be calculated in terms of the floor plan area and how floor areas per floor plan will be calculated as well in terms of like whether is it the midpoint of the wall, start point of the wall, outside the wall. So in the past, all authorities have different definitions. So actually, this is a good thing moving forward. All the authorities will standardize and then it's easier for developers and consumers as well. So the first key summary to take note in terms of harmonization rule, and this is important because if you're going to buy new launches, it's a knowledge that I think everybody should have. You would definitely want to know what is the harmonization ruling and how does it shape unit sizes moving forward. Basically, all agencies will take reference in the sense that floor areas will be measured to the middle of the wall. And all strata areas will be included as GFA. And later I will talk about this. because we're going to talk about like the AC ledgers and how all this is going to be calculated. And this is going to create a new shift in our unit sizes as well, moving from 2024 onwards, because we're going to see a new era of units having a smaller unit area. And how does it impact us in terms of overall quantum and PSF? So stay with me. Now, the very interesting thing is point three, because all voids are going to be excluded from the strata area, meaning that developers cannot and will be discouraged from selling the void area as well as AC ledgers, for example, to buyers. And BC and SCDF, they will adopt an aligned definition for some computation kind of thing. So let us have a look at this. So this new regulation, basically, if you look at this, the ledgers are exclusive to a strata unit, for example, like the AC ledgers. And basically, what is this all about? Let me just share with you in simple format. And we have already summarized the entire harmonization rule. So the first thing is that aircon ledgers, if developers wants to build buyers aircon ledgers, because right now, all the way from 2013 until now, or even way beforehand, basically when you look at the floor plan, the AC ledgers is included in the strata area that you purchase. So right now, let's say you go to buy any new launchers that was launched in 2023 before the harmonization rule kick in, this is part of the payable strata space that you are paying. So if you buy a unit, for example, you buy 1356 square feet, you pay $2.83 million at $2,087 per square foot. Basically, what it means is that you are paying this entire size of 126 square meters, inclusive of 8 square meters, the aircon latch area, which is about 86 square feet. So technically, you are paying for the space to put in your aircon compressor. So what it means is that moving onwards, developers will no longer be able to sell this to you as a buyer. If they want to sell this to you, this is going to eat into their overall GFA for the entire development. And why is that important? Is because if it eats into their GFA of the entire development, it means that overall, they are going to be able to only create lesser amount of units to be sold to buyers. And thus, logically, developers will be discouraged from doing that. And then they will not include this basically in the floor plan anymore. And it will still be there, but it's subjected to a new ruling, which I'll share with you later on. So what it means is that in future, from now onwards, projects that are under the new harmonization rule, for example, like Lentor mentioned, you're going to go in and you're going to see new versions of floor plans without the aircon ledgers being sold to you as a buyer. What it means is that if developers were to price it logically and price it correctly, you're going to see lesser unit areas being reflected. For example, this same floor plan that used to be 1356, maybe it's a 3-bit, 3-bath. It's a 3-bit premium unit with store. It used to be 1356 with 86 square feet. Now the AC latch of 86 square feet is going to be removed and they're going to reflect 1270 square feet, which was used to be the actual livable area in the first place. So basically, if I were to remove this from the old floor plan, which was not under harmonization rule, you are already having a livable area of 1270 square feet. It's just that now, if you go to projects moving forward, whether it's Lentor mentioned or any other new project starting from 2024 under the harmonization rule, you're going to see smaller floor plan square feet. And maybe at the first instance, you're going to be a little bit alarmed. Hey, why is it that suddenly from 2024, all the units are going to be smaller already? Is it because we're building smaller and smaller units? Actually, no. It's just that they are not selling you the AC latch anymore. So you're going to see this same floor plan to be 1270 square feet. AC latch is there, but it's not calculated into the area being sold to you. And I think developers, because of this, they don't gain in the sense that it's not as if they don't have to build AC ledgers anymore. They still have to build AC ledgers. It's that they cannot sell it to buyers, you and me. And because of this, they're going to have to adjust the overall GFA as well as the price mechanism. So I think moving forward, developers logically is going to price it at the same quantum compared to the past where they could sell the AC ledgers to buyers beforehand at a lower PSF. But now, because they have to build the AC ledge, but they cannot price it in, they will still sell the same quantum logically. The PSF reflector will then look higher. So maybe you when you go in, you will say, that, hey, why is it that I'm paying the same quantum, smaller size, PSF higher? But technically what has happened is that the two floor plans are still the same. It's just that the AC ledgers cannot be priced in anymore. But the overall quantum logically will be around the same. if the developer were to price it logically or correctly. It also depends on the land bid prices moving forward, because we all know the land bid prices tend to increase, construction costs increase, and of course there's like different things that developers have to look into, DC charges and things like that. But if let's say we were to just put apple to apple comparison, which is very difficult, of a project with harmonization and a project without harmonization, it should behave in this manner that the quantum is the same, but the one with harmonization has a higher PSF level. So coming back to this, basically, the conclusion is this. So let me just repeat. Is that if the developers want to build AC ledgers, they will have to include the AC ledge into the GFA, but it will not make sense for developers to do that because it will eat into the overall GFA, which means that they can build lesser units. And due to this, this is like a safeguard measure to deter developers from building AC ledgers to buyers. So all these AC ledgers not exceeding 2 meters in width are not computed as GFA. So it means the developers still have to build, but as long as it's not with exceeding 2 meters, it will not be computed as GFA, which is a good thing. But if it exceeds 2 meters in width, the area, because of the design, the area would then be in a sense that the part up to 2 meters will not be calculated in the GFA. Anything above 2 meters will be included into the GFA. And thus, the thought process is like this. Developers will then try to maintain the AC ledgers within 2 meters. So at the same time, this will not make sense for developers to build longer AC ledgers because this will not be computed as part of the strata area. And there's also a safeguard measure to ensure that the design makes sense because developers have to make sure that they cannot build AC ledgers, like example, too near to a lift lobby that people can just like climb onto the AC ledgers and stuff like that. And they also have to make sure that it makes sense for maintenance kind of purposes. So I think these are good measures to safeguard the buyer's standpoint. Of course, developers will then have to adapt to see how they can do it in a very, very practical, yet logical, and of course, using the design sense. And I think generally, it's going to shape, firstly, unit sizes. It's also going to shape design kind of perspectives to ensure that it's logical, it makes sense from a design standpoint, architect standpoint as well. So from the pricing perspective, I think we're going to definitely see like an increase in PSF for Lentor mentioned, but quantum level, I think it's going to be similar. So perhaps in the past, we are used to like 900 plus to 1,000 odd square feet for 3 bedders, but we're going to start seeing like 800 over square feet to maybe about 900 odd square feet for the premium ones. Maybe it will be about 900 plus square feet. Compact models will be about 850 square feet plus minus. It all depends on what is the removal of size of the AC ledgers and stuff like that.
So I think in summary, even though the PSF might look higher, it does not affect the future buyer's affordability because harmonization rule is going to be across board. It's going to be the new norm. And in terms of quantum, it will likely remain the same even though PSF seems higher.
So now that we are clear with the harmonization, let's talk about the Lentor potential in terms of URM master plan. Now, when we look at the URM master plan, I think what is very important is that Singapore, because it moves at a very fast pace. If you look at our development over the years, the amount of MRT stations that has been crafted, and of course, with this new North-South Highway, this is going to be a very exciting thing moving on towards 2030, whereby most of things will already be done. We're already in 2024. So in 6 years' time, you're going to see like super well-connected Singapore with even the cross-island line and things like that. But importantly is that I think wherever the government is injecting money and injecting development funds through URA into our landscape, that's the area that we have to pay attention to. Because if we take out our PRB mode analysis, we have 10 pointers. Number one is of course the MRT effect. Number two is the volume effect, which is to buy at best properties that's above 300 units in terms of overall volume and density so that you have a little bit more transaction volume at TOPs and moving forward towards the resale. Later, I'll show you what happened to Panorama. And of course, parents attraction effect. And one of the key development is that, is there potential for growth in that area? So if you look at URA, this has a lot of potential right here, a lot of new residential zoning. So what does this mean is that this is like the first new residential private property zoning to be developed with a concept planning. In future, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it's already demarcated as residential zone. I think there's going to be new concepts right here as well, because I think URA is in a conceptualization kind of phase that they want to not just launch GIS land plots, they also want to launch homes with a concept so that it creates like better kind of work, live, play living for Singaporeans as well as residents. So this, I think, is going to be exciting in the sense that whatever is going to be launched here, potentially, if it's going to be launched over the next 10, 20 years, PSF level will definitely be higher than what's happening in Lentor, which then gives opportunities right here towards Lentor. So things that are already happening. Punggol, of course, everybody knows that over the last 20 years is now like a wonderful township, water town. Buangkok Integrated Development also see a lot of hype. Of course, you have Lorong Chuan being starting to develop now. And this is, of course, the Lentor zoning right here. You also, on top of that, you have commercial nodes as well. Seletar Aerospace, Serangoon Sub-Regional Center, Defu is going to be developed. Last but not least, Lentor Hills, of course, is one of the a very hype zone right now. And of course, in terms of nature zoning, these are all part of URA's plan to ensure that there's a well balance of not just new residential and commercial plots, but also nature is being preserved and well integrated into all the concepts.
So when we talk about URA master plan, there's this principle in terms of property investing as well, is that wherever you see the government injecting funds to transform a new area, that is also a very good indication to, you know, look at that part as a high priority location for investment. So when we look at the URA website, of course, this is on ura.gov.sg. This is the part about Lentor Hills. And what is very interesting is that the Heelock Park is like the central node within this entire condo enclave. It's going to connect every condo to the central green zone. And this is like the artist's impression. Of course, now with the launches coming up, you can already start to see this taking shape. And this linear park is also going to link the residents here directly to Thompson Nature Park. So I think for families, even for couples, or even if you want to, you know, just spend some time in the green zone, this is going to be a good combination of condo living, having the convenience with the MRT station, having shopping facilities within that same zone. And most importantly is that the green portion is being planted into the entire concept.
So if we look at the performance of like Heelock Green, Heelock Green currently is about 31% sold as of date of filming. You still have about 68-67%. Of course, all these are subjected to change. And there was like a 1-4 beta kind of distribution right here. And when you look at Lentor Hill Residences, currently it's about 70-odd% sold. Also a 1-4 bedroom kind of concept. Lentor Modern right now is about 97% sold.
Now, one question that might be on your mind is that, hey, you know, there's a couple of projects that's being launched in Lentor. There's also going to be future launches. How do we look at the supply factor right here? So when we want to talk about supply, we want to look at macro as well as micro. Let's have a look at macro first. I promise you, and we'll hit straight into micro because we've already done charts to also think about this portion about the Lentor supply right there, combining the older projects as well as the new ones that are coming up. So when we look at macro, it's important to note that we are in Singapore, extremely land scarce. At this point in time, what has happened is that we need to look at the total residential inventory stock for all kinds of residential properties as well as the population that's already living in Singapore. So every time we like to look at the three main product categories. So first product definitely will be HDB apartments. Currently, there's about 1.239 million. And of course, it's growing with new BTOs being injected into the supply every single year. And private properties in totality, when we look at ECs, plus condominiums, and we usually categorize them together as private non-landed because anyway, ECs, after they hit the MOP plus the 10-year mark of MOP, they're going to be fully privatized. So we just take it combined to be at about 360,000 condo and apartment units. And of course, for landed, 73,000 unchanged since the last 8 to 10 years because there's no more new supply of landed homes. And importantly, when we zoom in to look at condos and apartments, the first macro view is to look at who are currently owning the condominiums right now. And it's also important to note that in terms of transaction volume every year, we can just simplify it to note that every year there's about 20,000 resale HDB transaction. There's about 1,000 plus to 2,000 plus landed property transaction. In terms of condominiums resale, there's about 10,000 resale transactions for condos and apartments. For new launches, also about 10,000. So in totality, we're looking at about 40,000 in terms of transactions for the private residential market. And when we look at condominiums, out of the 360,000 available units right now on the land of Singapore, we have about 5%, which is about 19,000 units of these condos that are currently being owned by companies. And we have about 69,000 being owned by foreigners and PR residents. The rest, about 270,000 units, are being owned by Singaporeans. So what does this mean? This means that when you look at this, combining with the 15 rounds of cooling measures, one of the latest round is that there's 60% ABSD for foreigners. And when you look at this 20% plus companies, companies also have to pay the same. Foreigners also have to pay the very high tier ABSD. And of course, when you look at this, the 25% right here, it's very likely that this 25%, which is about 80 over 1,000 units of condos and apartments, is going to be very sticky. Why? Because this category of ownership, if they were to sell, they cannot buy back. If they were to buy back, they have to pay the new ABSD of 60%. Most of them have already purchased before the 60% was introduced. They could have bought it when it was 7%, 10%, 12%, 15%, or even 30%. But this category is likely going to hold their horses. They're going to hold their properties. They will just continue to rent it out, live in it, or they will not exit it because they cannot buy back at the old ABSD. So we are looking at the revolving stock of this 270,000 units that are being owned by Singaporeans. And of course, every year, there's only going to be about close to maybe 10,000 units being added into the stockpile. Maybe by the end of this year, there's going to be 370,000. Next year is 380,000, so on and so forth. Because government also controls GLS very closely. If you look at the latest news in 2024, first half of 2024, they're going to only release this set of amount. And Singapore is a very different country compared to the rest of the world because land is being controlled by our government. They release it based on data. They want to make sure that there's gradual growth and not have like an oversupply situation whereby prices became stagnated. Like some other countries with enormous amount of land space. But being a scarce land Singapore, I think land is very well controlled. But let's look at micro as well, because on a micro level, maybe we are thinking, what about the overall supply just for land tour itself? So what we have done is that we have categorized and find out what are the projects within a kilometers from land tour MRT station. And these are the projects right there with the number of supply indicated there. Now, of course, take note, in Singapore, I would say that when you go to RealList and look at the data, almost all projects that has been existence are filled up. When you look at unsold completed units, we just did the NOTG banter the other day. In 2022, there's only 121 unsold completed non-landed private residential units according to data from RealList. This means that projects that has been done and TOP in the whole of Singapore, as of 2022, there's only 121 units that are unsold. Likely, these are the CCR core luxury projects. And in most properties in like the rest of Singapore, it's all already fully sold. It's owned by somebody, it's been rented out, it's been stayed on. So let's come back to the micro fashion. These are the projects right there. Most of them are of a certain age category. So for example, when you look at Far Horizon Garden, it's one of the older projects right there. Seasons Park is also pretty of a certain age already. You have, of course, Castle Green, Novo used to be an EC, Bullion Park. And of course, these are the projects that are within a kilometers. But if I were to further shrink it down to really pure walking distance, either towards Lentor MRT station, then definitely all these new projects within that radius is going to be something that will be in a closer proximity. And if you were to lay them out in a sequential launch fashion, 2022 Lentor Modern, and you have 2023 Lentor Hills Residences, Helock Green, 2024 Lentor Mansion, Lentoria, as well as the Lentor Central GLS land plot. In totality, when you look at this, actually in terms of overall supply, my own opinion is that in the entire whole of Singapore is still like an undersupply situation, because we have to remember that every year there's only like an introduction of probably close to only 10,000 new units. And we are looking at the existing roving stock of about 270, 280,000 being held by Singaporeans and PRs. The rest of the stock that is being held by foreigners and companies, they are already very sticky. They are unlikely to be released into the resale market. So just by looking at a macro and a micro point of view, I think combining this, if I were to add up 475, 267, 533, 474, 598, and 605, in totality, this is only close to about 2,000 units. And 2,000 units out of the grand scheme of only having 360,000 condo units in entire Singapore, I think this is like a just a very micro introduction of new supply into the market. So Last but not least, we want to observe this very interesting phenomenon at Pasir Ris, because that will probably give us also a final deeper insight into Lentor as well. Pasir Ris has been interesting because we try to look at two sets of data. Number one is that this entire plot seems very similar in terms of an introduction of a new condo enclave, because for a very long time, there's only Elias Green Condo, which is an older project facing towards, of course, the TPE. Nice, longish landscape as well. And then, of course, when CDL launched the first maiden project, Livia, that brought about a lot of excitement in the past. And Livia was actually launched in 2008. It was TOP in 2011, 724 units. And take note, CDL owned the rest of the plots as well. And they went to launch in a sequential approach. Livia, NV Residences was the second one. Palette was the third one. Dines, fourth. Coco Palms was the fifth. And when they launched in this sequence, up to today, PSF remains to be the same sequential growth norm. What do I mean by that is that Coco Palms is definitely more expensive than Dines in PSF level. Dines is more expensive than Palette. Palette more expensive than NV. NV is higher than Livia. So the latest projects usually have the higher PSF advantage. And of course, last but not least, Pasir Ris 8 has been launched on top of Pasir Ris Mall, which is a new integrated development. Of course, that will be the highest benchmark level at about 2000 PSF range. So if we were to look at this table, lastly, before we end today's NOTG session, this is something very interesting, because when you look at this, the amount of supply right here is actually much more, in the sense that some of the projects like Coco Palms is 944 units, Dines is 912, Palace 892. Just by adding the first three projects, it's already close to 2,600, 2,700 units. If I add on the rest, it's going to be like close to 4,000 units in totality, much more than Lentor. But have a look at their performance from the launch until today. If you have bought them since launch until today, this is the level of PSF change for your capital growth. With some of the projects having 46%, 40%, 47%, 73% for Livia. Even with this, I think Pasir Ris in and of itself, because of the very fact that it's near to the MRT station, it is still needing introduction of new condo projects as well. So I think with Singapore having that population growth projection, now is about 5.9 million. We're trying to hit 2030 at 6.9 million. And of course, our government is on track to bring foreign talents and expatriates. Housing is definitely something that is needed. Oversupply, I don't think there's a situation in Singapore, whether on a macro or micro view. And I want to bring your attention basically to this development before we end today's episode, because this just tells us a little bit more about what is happening here. So basically, if we look at the three projects that has already been launched, next project, Lentor Mansion, is exciting, not just because of the fact that it's in this new area, URA, near MRT, CHIJ School, largest land plot. It's going to be a luxury kind of concept. And based on some news that we have gotten, there's going to be like a clubhouse that is like a heritage mansion kind of version. So it's going to be like a very beautiful clubhouse concept as well. And in terms of the launch PSF, these were the ranges. So on the launch day, basically 84% for Lentor Modern, 50% Lentor Hills HELOC. And of course, as of today, it's about 97% sold, 73%, 31% sold for the three projects. So we want to bring our attention to Panorama. So Panorama is located right here, which is very near to the CHIJ St. Nick's School, opposite these two batches of landed enclave, which is called Horizon Gardens and Horizon Green. And of course, you can see Lentor from here. Let's have a look at the performance of this property, because this is like one of the rare high-rises that was launched among the landed enclave. And of course, it's near to the Mayflower MRT station. So of course, if you look at the curve, there's like a double round appreciation. So first launch was around the midpoint towards the tail end of 2014. All these blue dots were the transaction so-called figures. And then when it TOP around this stage, the first-hand owners already made appreciation. And then till today, even if those people that bought around TOP or bought along the way of 2020, 2021, they still see appreciation until today. Partly also because of the 2020 run towards 2023 after the recovery of COVID. And it's even seen when Amo Residences was launched, it's like instant sold out very quickly. And this just shows that this area has a very strong demand from either family upgraders or even young families that's buying like a one or two beta, or families that are buying three or four betas. And I think in terms of demand and supply, it is something that we need to explore. Because when before you commit to a new launch property, it's very important to note demand and supply level. So Panorama, basically in terms of the latest transaction as of December 2023, is a redoing at about $1,800 to $2,000 per square feet. If Lentor Mansion were to launch at
I'm not sure what's the pricing, but let's say 2002, 2003, or even 2004, in terms of the gap, is actually very close in the sense that this is a development that was launched during the mid-2014 season. So technically, it's about 10 years old. And if you're buying a new launch that is within the same zoning, within a kilometer from the same school, right beside MRT station in a new conceptual area that you are is injecting new concepts here, then I think the differential is worth considering in the sense that it is not too far off. So of course, if you can't wait, then by all means, and you like Panorama, it's a great development, it's a beautiful project. By all means, if you cannot wait for 3 to 4 years for construction, then go ahead for the resale property. But if you can wait and you want to get something new, I think the gap is worth the wait. Because if it's a $200 or $300 or $400 PSF difference, it is definitely worth the wait. Most of the time, I would say that the gap, if it's like a far difference of 30 to 40%, then definitely the resale will look very attractive. If let's say you are thinking about resale versus new launch. So for example, if it's like $2,000 versus $2,800, then definitely the $800 gap is worth going for the resale because you still have room for the resale to catch up. When we look at the amount of listings, what is very interesting is also this. There is clearly a lack of listings for Panorama and in fact, in this entire area. So we want to track the amount of Property Guru listings that's available. So current available listings in Property Guru, there's only 21 listings. There are 3 listings for 1 betas. 2 betas, there are 11 listings. 3 betas, there are only 6 listings. And 4 betas, there's only 1 listing. There's no 5 beta listing. And then if you look at Amo Residence, of course, this was launched in July 2022 at about 2001 PSF. Transactions at 2023 is about 2289. Why am I looking at the current listings available at Panorama? Because I want to see whether is this area oversupply with resale properties. And it just shows that for a project like this, because this project has 698 units, but there's only 21 units available for sale. It clearly shows that, plus the very fact that in terms of transaction volume, just look at how healthy this is. One page cannot even contain the full transaction volume on a month-to-month basis. There's so many transactions going on. It just shows that most units that were launched has been absorbed from a resale market. And it shows a strength in this area. And we also did a further CMA of projects around Lentor Mansion, just to have an illustration so that we can see in terms of the resale, would they be like a strong competitor? So from Meadows at Pierce, which is near to Casuarina, nearer to Upper Thompson Road, only 2 listings available. Far Horizon, the older development, only 7 listings. Seasons Parks, only 3. Castle Green, only 10. Panorama, only 11. And I'm talking about the 2 betas. In the entire region, there's only 33 listings available. 3 betas, only 35 listings available. And then 4 betas, 9 listings available. 5 betas, 5 listings available. It's very clear that this zoning has a lack of listings. And I think one of the rationale is that a lot of the resale properties now, I think they are holding on. The owners of these resale properties, they are definitely holding on. Why are they holding on? It's because they are holding on to wait for the new Lentor projects to complete their launch, sell out. And once all these Lentor projects, TOP, we're going to see a new, definitely new PSF benchmark level. Then they will up their pricing in the resale space to catch up with the pricing right here. And this is what we call the disparity gap. And before we end, we definitely have to talk about disparity gap. Let me just share with you this portion right here. I think when you look at 2024, what is going to be very interesting is that the resale properties around any launch, they're going to ask for a higher PSF. Now, the newly TOP projects are already asking for higher PSF. I don't even need to go there. I just need to look at Panorama. They're all asking about $2,000 per square feet or $2,001 because if they see their neighbors doing at $2,000 transacted, as you can see just now, from 1,008 plus to 2,000, some of the owners probably are already asking 2,001 or 2,002. And of course, if you see launches in Lentor between 2,001 to 2,003 or 2,004 or 2,005 PSF, the gap is actually very close to some of the resale projects around the region. And this is usually how we look for disparity gaps. With that, I think why do we want to touch on Lantau is because I think it's going to be exciting zoning right there for everybody to look at and consider. Let's say if you're thinking of maybe a new project downstream in 2024. And I hope that this episode at NOTG has added value to you. Of course, leave your comments down below on what are the next topics that you want to have a look at in terms of our NOTG episode. And my name is Melvin Lim. If this is your first time joining us, do subscribe. Give us a like button. This will encourage us to create better content and newer content in future. Also, head on to our Property Lim Brothers YouTube channel to look at home tours on a daily basis, plus PRB Insights, where we review new launches on a consistent basis. Now, of course, for NOTG, this is where the place that we look at market trends, key highlights of certain developments, as well as banter episodes. We hope to see you soon and have a wonderful 2024 ahead. Take care.
It's not built in a fashion whereby...
Why don't we look at this camera?